Good morning. Good to see you all today on a very windy, at least it was when I came over before seven. Is the wind still blowing just as hard? I would think. As one of the guys said at prayer this morning, he went to in the book of Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when they were all gathered in the upper room and the Bible says, and suddenly there was a mighty rushing wind that filled that place. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So let it be so again today. Just some announcements that I have before we go on with our service. If you're on the prayer chain, you got this message. Otherwise, you might not have. But in regards to the women of the church and their soup kitchen, which is always the first Saturday of December, most always that day, the women voted last Sunday of should we go forward with this or not, and so the votes to not have it this year were more. So we won't have soup kitchen this year, so just make some hot chicken sandwiches at home or something, right? But as it says in the bulletin, because that's what the giving from that day is what helps the women to do all the mission work that they do throughout the year, which includes helping our kids go to church camp in the summer. So if you want to make a donation sometime between now and then to the women of the church, maybe of what you would normally have spent, you know, with the items you're cooking and your donation, just do it that way. I think next Sunday, where are we at, Shirley? Is there a box out there now? Next Sunday, we'll try to have a box out on the information cabinet there in the narthex. Otherwise, if you, in your offering, want to just write on the memo line, you could write soup kitchen, whichever way is easier, as you desire. There is a Veterans Day program this Wednesday at the school. You see that there. The public is invited. It will be at 9 o'clock in the gym for all that would like to attend. The National Honor Society of the high school is hosting that, as they usually do. So, as it is Veterans Day on Wednesday, I would like to ask all of our veterans and or active military here today to please stand. All right. Amen. Thank you. And God bless you. Thank you for your service to our nation. We have many more veterans in the church who are not here today, and we are blessed by that. And we say thank you for your service. We praise God for each and every one of you. last thing I just want to mention is next Sunday night, God willing, we're hoping to have a contemporary service. We haven't been able to do that. I think that'd be the first time this year, except we sort of did one during our shutdown time. We recorded a service. But so next Sunday night, it's going to be towards Thanksgiving and praise. We still, yes, we have our Thanksgiving Eve service, but this is a special night. Anne is sort of coordinating it and asking people to have some testimonies, things that they are thankful. We'll have scripture, of course, and prayer and worship. So that's going to be at 6:30. We thought we'd try it at 6:30 for the families with children, so to think about the bedtime. The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. And as we sang that last chorus, the words, Lord, I need you. And we do, every hour we need you. And we know that you are always with us, that you live within us by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And as we sang, Lord, you are our one defense. You are our righteousness. Where sin runs deep, Lord, your grace is more. Your grace is sufficient. You are the God who is more than enough. And so I thank you for all that are here with us in person, for those that will watch the service later in the week who aren't able to be with us. I pray, Lord, that you bless them as well whenever that hour comes that they tune in. But for us here, we thank you for your Spirit and your power, your presence and your glory filling this sanctuary as we praise and worship your name. And in Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Well, let's stand together. Our opening hymn is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. We know that. Number 572 in your hymnals. So we do praise him. Take a moment and just greet each other with however you want to as you're seated. God bless you. Morning. Good morning, yes. So we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here today. Let's see. I have several things written down. So prayers for Darlene Gehring's brother, Jerry Buchholz. He lives in Mitchell. He is in the hospital there. He has COVID and has been having a tough go with it. And on that note, I think we all know there is more of it around our area here all the time of the virus. So just use caution. Unfortunately, we do have some cases now as of Friday evening in our care center here at Menno. We've done so very well without it. So be praying, and for other facilities, care facilities around us who are struggling. So that's why Anne's not here today, just out of caution. She worked yesterday, not directly with those that have it, but just, as I said, out of caution. So much prayer in that regard. And on that note, I wanted to mention that Stella Nuss moved into the care center on Wednesday. She does not have it, thankfully. But I can't say who does, so don't ask me, okay? But prayers, and prayers for Stella as she transitions into there. Stella is 99, and her birthday comes in March, God willing. So what a blessing to live in your home 99 years of your life, right? It's good to see Pauline Brandt and her two daughters with us, Tiffany and Teresa. Welcome to you. I know Pauline had spent some time in Oklahoma, so we're glad you're back with us. Bless you. Prayers for Tiffany Palmerville. She was with us last Sunday. She had surgery. Remember, she had had a double mastectomy months back. I bet this must be about her fifth surgery, fighting infection. So I haven't heard how that went. Hopefully no news is good news. Terry Seiler, Fred's wife, talked to her Friday, I guess it was, and she sounded amazing. Yep. Huh? She's feeling good. They did that ostomy, so she's able to actually eat food again and getting her strength back. But continued prayers there for her. So, anything else over here? Let's see. Is that Miss Derby, Ashlyn? All right, Ronnie Derby turned 41 on Friday. Happy birthday, Ronnie. It's great. Anybody else over here? Okay, how about over here? Quiet bunch today. All right. Yeah, Ashley. Okay. 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 Yeah. Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord for that. Myron Holsworth is who Ashley's mentioning. He was in the hospital. He had three surgeries during the week-ish or so that he was in there dealing with this infection in his body. So he did get to come home with antibiotic, IV antibiotics, and the wound vac pack things, however. So it's always good to be home. We continue to pray for Myron. All right. Okay, let's bow our heads, please. Lord, we do come. We come before your throne. We do confess we are sinners. And we know that, every one of us. We confess our sin before you and ask for your forgiveness, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And we thank you that, Lord, as we sang, you are our one defense. You are our righteousness. And you have made us to be the righteousness of God in Christ that allows us to come before your throne with these prayers, with these praises for birthdays, Lord, for answered prayers. We thank you for Myron, that he was able to come home and as those antibiotics are working throughout his system, let them work effectively against any and all infection. Father, we pray. We're so thankful for Terry, Fred and Terry Seiler, and Terry's improvement as she's regaining her strength. And we thank you for your power at work within her. Tiffany Palmerville, we continue to lift her up and ask for healing throughout her body. And Jimmy Whale and Terry Auk, both with brain tumors, we pray daily for them. Thank you, Lord, for your power there. For David Wallach as he waits for treatment on his cancer in the coming month or two, and we lift him and Peg up. Lord, certainly we do pray for our care center here in Menno, and all around, we could say our whole nation, the care center facilities who have the most vulnerable residents living there when it comes to this virus. Be with them. Lord, they are doing everything they know to do, humanly possible, to be careful and safe. And after that, Lord, as we say, it's in your hands. Be with the staff in these facilities as they get weary, Lord. Nurses, too, in the hospitals and clinics and the doctors and all of healthcare across the nation. We pray over them, Father. Strength to each of them. Many of them, as they're ones that are dying that can't even have family there, as they are ministering to them in their last days of their life. We thank you for guarding and keeping them, Lord Jesus. For our veterans and active military personnel here today and many that aren't with us today, we just thank you, Father, for each and every one of them as we pray over our troops. Keep them safe, whether they're serving here at home, whether they're abroad, over in Africa, in the Middle East, in Europe, or whatever part of our world they are in, we ask, Lord, that you give your angels charge over them to guard and keep them in all of their ways. We do pray for Darlene's brother, Jerry, up there in the hospital in Mitchell, and ask for your healing touch throughout his body as he fights the virus as well. And many others, we pray the same, Lord God. For our nation, Lord, we continue to pray. We ask for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us, as we've been praying for a long time, and we know that you hear our prayers. We know that you are at work mightily. We might not see it as we desire to see it, but you are all-powerful, and you are sovereign, and you rule and reign upon your throne, and we rest in you, for you are faithful. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercies. In Jesus' name, for anything else I may have missed, Lord, we lift this up to you. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, we continue to pray. This clearly tells us, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving, that's all types of prayer, be made for everyone, and then he breaks it down, for kings and all those who are in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. As you know, the offering box is in the back there. Let's stand together and we'll sing the doxology. Father, we do praise you. You've blessed this year. You've blessed this harvest, Lord, for conditions to be right, to bring it in, not slopping around in the mud and getting stuck and so what a couple of the last years have been. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for all of our jobs that you give us to work in, whatever area they might be, manufacturing, healthcare, and school, nursing, whatever, Lord. Thank you for giving us the strength to be able to go to work and the health to do it. Forgive us, Lord, on days when we grump and grumble about things. We are always and forever grateful to you. And so we give the first fruits of our increase. We give in faith to you, to the work of this local church, and far beyond, as we continue to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for blessing these gifts in Jesus' name. And Father, we do confess our faith now together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So, kids, come on down. It looks like it's me and you today. Oh, Lord. No. Come on. I cannot do near what Ann does, but I will try my best. Okay? Oops. All right. How many of you, do you think that your mom and dads love you? Yeah. How do you know that?
Because they're always telling you.
They're always telling you. How else? Do they give you hugs?
Yeah.
Kisses?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this, I don't know if kids do this anymore. This, my wife had this example planned, okay, so. But when I was a kid, it was more the girls that would do this with a flower if they wanted to know if there was a little boy that liked them. And they would take those petals and they would say, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. Have any of you ever done that? Oh, you're a little too young, aren't you? Right. Well, you can try it this spring when your mom has her flowers, but you better ask first. He loves me. And if that was the last petal, he loves me not. Oh, he doesn't love me. But you'd pick another flower till you got it. Yeah, it's good thinking, Raylan. There you go. That little guy's going to love you no matter what, isn't he? Oh, you too. All right. But you know who always, always, always loves you?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus and God, our Father. And in 1 John chapter 3, it says this, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished, that's a word we could say, how great is the love the Father has poured out upon us. Now, I thought about bringing a bucket of water and whoosh, but I didn't think that'd go too good. I thought about getting a big bucket of confetti. You know what confetti is? All those little tiny pieces of paper and going whoosh. I didn't think that'd go over too good either. Sherry might not be too happy if I did that. So I just got to tell you, with God, if we're doing that with a flower with God, you know what? It's always, he loves me. Is there ever a he loves me not? No, there's never a he loves me not. It's always he loves me, he loves me, He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He what?
Loves me.
Say it again. He
loves me.
Right. He loves you more than you could ever know. So you always remember that. There's not too big a mess there, is there? Yeah, that was a little sunflower, it was. So, God loves you. How great is the love the Father has poured out on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Let's pray. Okay, let's close our eyes. Fold in, sit up, boys. Okay, let's sit up. Please. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for these boys and girls, that you love them incredibly, more than their moms or dads or grandma or grandpas ever could. You love them. And you show it to us in so many, many ways. So bless them this week. Thank you for keeping them safe and healthy, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can go get your papers. Thanks, MLM. Appreciate it. And we'll sing number, I think it's 118, is that right? We'll sing that through twice. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Let's pray once more, please. Father, thank you for each one that is here. We have come to worship you. We have come to sit at your feet and hear your word, that we might be strengthened and encouraged by you, by your Spirit and the very living word of God. And so I ask, Lord, as always, that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. Let my words not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but may they be by the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. We started on this last week, and if you were here with us, you know, we didn't just get too far, did we? So we'll try a second round. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm. There it is, right? So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. So stand firm, and I'm going to read this little blip again here too. It just someone shared that with me last Sunday. This devotional's out there in the information cabinet. There should be some if you want to grab one. It's an article in there called Unashamed of the Truth, and it starts out like this. There has not been a more crucial time in recent history when Christians have needed to stand firm in their faith. As culture becomes increasingly antagonistic to Christianity, the temptation for believers is to be ashamed of biblical truth and even to deny Jesus Christ, who is himself the truth. When Christian truth is unpopular and unappealing, there is immense pressure from the world to compromise our witness. However, we are called not to waver or to fear others, but to stand unashamed of Jesus Christ. So we stand firm. In this, the fifth Sunday on it, I guess, we've been talking about God's admonition to his church to stand firm. What? We looked against false teaching. We looked at, where he tells us to stand firm as a word of encouragement. That was to the Philippian church. Last Sunday we started on this, letter C. We are to stand firm as we wait for the second coming of Christ. All right? And so that's where we sort of got lost because what is the context of this chapter? We have to look at that. And if you'd read through that whole chapter, I hope you did. But that chapter, he's talking to the church about the second coming of Christ and before the second coming, the rapture of the church. Now, you might say, because I've had some questions, well, what is that? What is that? Which, as I said a couple years ago, I did 4 sermons on the rapture of the church. Maybe I'll do it again, I suppose, sometime. But is the word rapture itself in the Bible? No, it is not. But in the Greek, in the English, the words that are in the Bible are this catching away. So shall we be caught up. And I don't have those verses with me. It's not in this passage. But that word caught up, that is the same word as what the rapture means. So it is in Scripture. And as we understand it, that is the next event that we are waiting for to happen. The rapture of the church. When Jesus just comes in the clouds, there's that event. And we are caught up to meet him in the air. That's the rapture, okay? That starts the 7-year period of the tribulation. And halfway through that 7 years, Revelation chapter 13 speaks about after, 42 months? 42 months is 3.5 years, is when the Antichrist is going to set up himself in the temple in Jerusalem and declare himself as God. The first 3.5 years of that tribulation is not going to be so terribly bad because the Antichrist will rise to step into power and he'll bring an answer and peace to the world at that time, because imagine the chaos on the planet when all the believers are gone that fast, any moment. There's going to be total chaos. He's going to step up, bring peace, have an answer. Wow, this guy's great. Even have able to do some miracles even, so he'll deceive many. But halfway into that time, he is going to reveal truly who he is, a man possessed by Satan himself. And then it is really going to get bad. Any believer, can you get saved in that 7 years? Yep. Yeah, but as I said last Sunday, don't bank on that. Because if you didn't have enough courage to proclaim Jesus Christ now, when there is very little persecution, I don't know. Yeah, you could be scared enough or woken up enough, I guess, then in that tribulation time to like, man, I missed it, and I'm going to get serious with God. That better be how it is. So he's going to set himself up. It's going to be very bad. The mark of the beast, all of that stuff. And then, so 3.5 years at the end of the seven is the second coming of Christ. That's when Jesus himself comes to Jerusalem, literally, physically, in his resurrected body, in the flesh, stands on the Mount of Olives, goes through that eastern gate that the Muslims have blocked, cemented shut. Anybody that's been there knows it. In addition to blocking the eastern gate, because they know the prophecies of Scripture, that the Messiah, Jesus, is going to come through that gate when he comes again, and even to hinder him further, the Muslims have put their graveyard all across the eastern wall of that old city of Jerusalem. Because they're thinking, well, if the wall isn't going to stop him, and it's not, then surely he is not going to defile himself. A Jewish priest, rabbi, would never defile himself by going into the graveyard. So we're safe. Are they safe? They're not safe. He's coming. It's going to happen. Amen? Yes, so I better get on or we'll not get through the message today, right? So let me say this, false teachers had come into this church at Thessalonica telling these believers the second coming of Christ has already happened and you missed it. You missed it. You missed the rapture of the church. And they're like, having a total panic attack. Could you imagine, right? You read through those verses and you'll see what's going on. So in the verses 13 through 17 then, we'll get to where we want to be today, he's telling us again how to stand firm in this life as we live in the flesh. How do we do it? 3 weeks ago, we were in Philippians. Same deal when he told that church. And just to review quick on those 3 points, it was stand firm. Remember, I told you that's a military term in the Greek language. You stand your post and you do not move. A lot of you veterans know what that means. At any cost, you stand guard, you stand at that post. I don't care what. That's the intent in this. Stand firm. Secondly, in that 3 weeks ago, you stand together. Third was you strive together. And as I told you 3 weeks ago, that's an athletic term in the Greek. Think of, you know, we talked a football team. You got to strive together if you're going to defeat the opponent. You got to be locked in together, solid. So in the body of Christ, we stand together, we work together, we strive together against the enemy, which is Satan himself. Verse 13, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says again, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, believers, sisters, loved by the Lord. That's your blank. Know that you are loved by the Lord. Oh, that's real deep, Pastor Mike. Doesn't have to be deep, does it? No, it doesn't. There are many Christians that go, I have encountered many who doubt or question God's love for them. Maybe some of you have been there in your own life over in different circumstances. Maybe it's a terrible trial you or family members going through, and you're like, God, where are you? Do you even love me anymore? Or whatever the situation is, maybe you have felt that you failed the Lord so miserably and the devil's jumping right in there into your thoughts, putting that how you think God loves you anymore. Boy, we got to be settled in the fact God loves you. You got to know that. If any thoughts come to your mind that are contrary to that, those are not from God. Know that you are loved by the Lord. We always ought to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord. And you know, when you know how much God loves you, That gives you strength to stand through whatever it is. Gives you incredible strength. I read the verse with the kids. Behold, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us. Right? There's that verse in Deuteronomy chapter 7. That's when Moses is just recounting with the people of Israel the law. If you'd look at Deuteronomy 5, he goes over again the Ten Commandments with them. And then in chapter 7, those verses, he's saying this to them. And God would say the same thing to us today. Listen, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than the other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, and they were the people of Israel then. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers. So Ephesians 3, that's in Paul's prayer there when he's saying to the church and to us, I pray that you can know how deep and how far and wide and deep and high is the love of God. So he wants us to know that. I always try to bring it over, okay, on the natural with an example. And I think a couple things. I think, with my parents, our parents, me and my siblings, as we grew up, was it perfect? No, no home is. But we knew without a doubt that our parents loved us. Now, in that setting, and probably earlier, now not every family is the same, of course, but in our home, we were not a huggy-duggy, kissy family. We weren't. And probably a lot of the German heritage background wasn't, right? And it wasn't, I don't recall, like my mom when she put us to bed or whoever did it ever really, I love you. Don't know, I don't recall that. But I knew they loved me, okay? I'm not saying that was wrong. I knew they loved me. It has only been really in recent years, and I'm not saying this to a fault at all, but it's sort of been neat to where if I talk to my dad on the phone, most every time we hang up now, he'll say, I love you. I say, I love you too, Dad. Did he always love me? Of course. Just so it wasn't expressed in that way. It was expressed through what? Their provision. You know how else it was expressed? Through their discipline. Maybe I didn't realize it at the time when I had that whop on my behind. The fly swatter on my behind. More so is what it was. But I knew, and you know what? What I'm getting at in this is because I knew their love for me, that kept me, I'm not saying I was perfect by any means, but it kept me from a lot of wrong choices as I got into those teenage years because I knew how much they loved me. Now, I can't say it was always perfect. As a matter of fact, there's another young man in this church that, so when we were in high school, we were not allowed to go to R-rated movies. That was the rule in our home. The Roxy Theater was still open the first couple of years we were here. And also was the bowling alley in Freeman. So Mark and I, and we'll just say another set of twins. I don't know who came with the idea. Certainly it was the other set of twins, right? No. There was an R-rated movie at the Roxy that we thought we needed to see that thing. And so we told my parents, Mark and I, we're going bowling in Freeman tonight, okay? Okay. We knew we weren't going bowling in Freeman that night. I felt so bad about it. But we went to that movie. I was like, whoo, because I'd never seen an R-rated movie before. I'm glad it was dark in there because I'm sure my face was beet red. Maybe it is now. And that was pretty mild back then, what was qualified for that. So And when did we ever tell them? If they ever knew, they never said. It wasn't until probably later college years, maybe when we were all home for Thanksgiving or Christmas. Hey, you remember that time? Da, 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 da. Well, that's not where we went. Of course, my mother says, Michael, how did you do that? Well, But anyway, no, it was because we knew how much they loved us. At least I can speak for myself. That kept me from a lot of wrong choices. It helped me to what? Stand firm. It really did. I could say as well, the churches that my dad served, a lot of times you hear about preachers' kids and they have bad experience maybe growing up in a church. And I can honestly say with me and all of my siblings, we never had an experience like that. We always felt the love of that congregation for us as the pastor's kids. Always. And you know what? That as well held me in my mind from many wrong choices, because I would think, what if the church would find out about this? No, not doing it, okay? Because God, know that you are loved by God. It says in the finishing of that verse 13, for from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's not anything we have done in ourselves, our salvation. It's only by the Spirit of God working in us, drawing us to the Father and through belief in the truth. Okay, second point here. Know that God called you. You know that this is how you stand firm. Know that how much God loves you. Second, know that he called you. Verse 14, he called you to this through the gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? God called you to this. What's this? Your faith in Christ. To serve him. He called you to do that through the gospel, right? The message of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing the message of the gospel. And that message is heard through the word of Christ. Romans 10, 17 is that verse. He called you to himself. We could call that, if you want to get a theological term, they call it irresistible grace. When God was working, he was drawing you to himself. And yeah, we all have different stories how we resisted, right? But he was not giving up on you. And if you got people you're praying for, you keep praying because he's not giving up on them either. He called you. Let's in the natural. Two, when you know that you were called to a life profession, a job, a career, doesn't just have to be ministry. That holds you steady through the hardest of times. I have said to many, I think in this year of 2020, as we have been, one of the most difficult professions right now has got to be in the healthcare field. There's others too, I'll talk, but wow. Difficult. I talked to someone just the other day who works in the hospital in house cleaning down at Yankton, actually. And she was just saying how hard it is. The gearing up, gowning up with everything, the extra cleaning, the ones, you know, you sort of get to know them. I said, so if someone, I can only speak for Yankton because that's who I talk to. Maybe it's the same around. But for the ones in there, I said, so the ones that have COVID in there that are in their dying days, does a loved one get to come in? She said, no. No. So those nurses, house cleaners, doctors, whoever, are not only ministering medically, they are sometimes ministering to those in their dying days and moments, holding their hands. And that's why we pray for them. We have several in the church, always. Always. Difficult. But you know, when you know you are called, I've told Kelsey Birch, our administrator here, more than once, I said, Kelsey, if you can make it through this, you can probably make it through just about anything. I just keep, hang in there. We need to encourage these along, right? It goes for our first responders. Wow, how about our policemen and women? What a difficult year. In any profession, yes, there's bad apples, but by and large, they're honorable men and women who have just been hammered this last year. Hard, right? But you stand firm. The farming, we know. I mean, this fall, praise the Lord, you had a little reprieve, right? But the last couple of years, incredible challenges with the flooding and the wet. But what? You keep going, don't you? You keep going. When days when you think, I don't know how, I don't know, but God gives you that strength, doesn't he? What about teachers, administrators, the whole school system, another challenging time? I've said those are two positions of leadership I really would not want to be in, the healthcare and the schools. You got people coming at you, board, school board, whatever, all you that serve in that. But you stand firm, don't you? Oh, whether it's highway workers, whether it's factory workers, there's all the challenges that come. But what? But God called you. He called you to those positions. Yes, he called you to this, your salvation in Jesus Christ. But then naturally, he has called you to those positions. In verse 15, the verse part of it says, so then, brothers, we could say sisters, what's the next two words? Give me a guess what the next two words are, please. Stand firm. Thank you. Okay. Woohoo. Then I'm going to read the first part of that verse again. Where is it? So then, brother. Verse 15. Okay, you see it right there. So then, brothers, what? Thank you. We'll read the rest of the verse later. But let's go to 15 and 16, please. Oh, I'm sorry. 16, 17, Joni. This is the third point. You know that God, you have to know that God is encouraging you and strengthening you. You got to know that. You got to know he loves you. You got to know that he chose you. Because that all helps us to hold steady with his strength. Not in our own, we cannot do it. That he's encouraging and strengthening you. Let's read those two verses together, please. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Yes, there it is again. He doesn't just say, oh, stand firm. Just do it. No, he gives you of his Holy Spirit, fills you and strengthens you and encourages you to do it, right? May he encourage your hearts, it says there. You know what, that in the Greek, that too, may he encourage, that word encourage. I like this. One of the meanings of that word in the Greek is to draw near. Just get the picture. I know there's some of you that, a couple that I hear pray, and you say, at times, the prayer will go something like, and Father, I just see myself crawling up into your arms. And you can see it in that way. What does Deuteronomy says? The God of it, let's see, can I quote that now? Well, the eternal God, well, the God of Israel is your refuge. He rides the heavens to help you and holds you. I'm messing it up now. Anyway, but the last is he holds you in his everlasting arms. Yeah, he's drawing you near to himself, right? We all like hugs, which have certainly decreased greatly this year, haven't they? Unless in your own family, but otherwise, you're like, okay, can I shake your hand or not shake your hand? Can I give you a hug or not give you a hug? I don't even know what to do, right? No, to encourage you, he draws you near and encourages you. Think of Barnabas in the book of Acts. He is known, and his name even means the son of encouragement. And you read about him in the book of Acts, that's what he was always doing, encouraging people. May God, secondly, strengthen you. That, one meaning of that is to make you steadfast. If you are steadfast, that means you are immovable by God's power working in you. Strong and sure. I'd say how many times over the years I can think, and probably all of us can, where I've said, Lord, I do not know if I can do this any longer. I don't know how we're going to get through this deal, Lord. But what? I don't leave it at that, and you shouldn't either. But Lord, through you, what? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I need just an extra boost from you from within. I need some extra strength to get through this. And he gives it. He might give it where you tangibly just sense it. He might give it through somebody that calls you on the phone and just says, hey, can I have a prayer with you? Or somebody, there was this song someone sent to me this week, Take Heart. I texted it to some different ones. We're going to have that sung as a special next Sunday. It's a cool song, Take Heart by Matthew West. Awesome words. Wow. I texted that to different ones. One person, not from our church, called me and said, I have been having the worst day ever. And when that song came through on my phone, that was an answer to prayer. So God does that through the body of Christ, doesn't he? Encourages us, strengthens us. So back to 15. There, real quick. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings. Shouldn't have to say what that is. That's right here. Hold to the teachings which we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth. So at that time, he's really would have been talking the Gospels, because the Gospels were not written yet. Thessalonians, that letter was written before they ever had Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John in their hands. So that's what he's saying. The teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Letter are the epistles, which 1st and 2nd Thessalonians qualify for that. So we stand firm together in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for how many times you give us this in the New Testament. I pray that as we read it, as we hear it, that we are encouraged. We fix our eyes on you, no matter what's happening around us, the disappointments that we might have had this week or weeks before or whatever it is. We stand firm with our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. Thank you for blessing each one here today. And if there's someone who needs that extra strength and encouragement, I pray that you would supply that in a very tangible way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, because it is Veterans Day on Wednesday, we are going to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. There are five verses we're going to sing. Since there are five, we'll sing number 1 and then 3, 4, and 5. You can stand, please. We'll skip verse 2. They're all good, just for time's sake. Oh, can almost hear the trumpet sound. The Lord's Supper is here. There are still so many people lost. His message is here. Father, give us one more moment, one more day, just one more year. With God, we're marching on. Yes, his truth is marching on always. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And we continue. We'll see. Maybe during Advent season we might take a break from God Bless America. But until then, we are singing it as a prayer for our nation. Seated. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Joanne, for the beautiful music.